Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
How are you?
Okay, I'm great. I'm just in New York at the moment for a couple of days.
Yes,
free and before I go to Europe.
Many, many things going on with you. But one thing I did want to ask you about. This particular incident, was it a gimmick that you did when you went in Washington D.C. to the subway and you performed and you were trying to find out if anyone would know who you are?
Well, it wasn't about finding out if they knew who I was. I was asked by this wonderful journalist Gene Weingarten, who I knew of by reputation and this work, to do this experiment. If I thought it was a gimmick, I wouldn't have done it. He convinced me that he would have some interesting questions and debates would arise. And sure enough, a lot of people have been talking about it the last few days. And so now I'm glad I did. I wasn't sure. I sort of jumped into it just more out of curiosity and adventure, just to play in the subway. I thought would be interesting. So, but it wasn't about seeing whether they would recognize me. And I was wearing a baseball cap, and even those who might have recognized me, many of them wouldn't. It wasn't about that, but it just raised some questions about how we listen to music, how we appreciate art if we're not expecting it, or if it's not in the right context. And I thought the journalist made some interesting comments and observations.
How did you act when, I mean, you played and you played a number of things and you were like a street musician, right?
Yes.
And, people passed by and they listened or they stopped, they gave you some money. Was that right?
That's right. Some people stopped. I mean, apparently they counted. I mean, they really did it somewhat. I mean, they did it scientifically in a way. They counted every person that went by, how many looked, how many didn't. Most of them ignored me. And this would be the same with any street musician.
Obviously. Oh, of course.
And the article could have been done with a street musician. It wasn't the fact that I happen to be a concert
artist
and have had a certain amount of success, proven success, that only maybe accentuates the ideas, but it could have been done with anybody. And so most people did walk by without even paying attention. And, it was interesting to see, he made a point about children, for instance, that the kids that walked by, they tended to pay attention and were more curious about what was happening.
You mean little children?
Little children.
Yeah. What about like, kids in college or, slightly older, say between 19 and 21 or
I'm not
two,
sure
something
about
like
that particular group.
Were they
group,
around?
That particular group. I mean, bear in mind that people were rushing to work. It was rush hour but it's just interesting that even people who don't have time, you would think that they would at least
listen,
turn and pay attention acknowledge in some way. But it's interesting how I think when it comes to people who are playing for money, for instance, it's interesting how one of my theories is that people don't want to even look because they feel like then they're participating, then they feel guilty if they haven't paid any money.
How did you feel? I mean, because you, of course, are looking at this from a totally different standpoint and you knew the truth, but how did you feel just kind of your initial reaction was, well, did you feel insulted or did you feel hurt or did you feel innocuous? I just wondered. I mean, knowing you know who you are and you know what your real life is, but I was just wondering if the gut reaction was something like, wow.
Well, again, who I am isn't the point. I think it's for any musician who's getting up there and playing, and if you pour your heart out
and nobody pays attention. Yeah.
On a certain level, when you play music, you can play for yourself and still be engrossed in the experience. But there is that element of that important element of the listener as well. And that's you have to, as a listener, you really have to participate in the experience. And I'm used to having people after, you know, when I'm playing, being involved and participating. And that is a key element to performance. And
have you ever passed a street musician by?
I'm more aware because I'm a musician. So if someone is playing, you know, playing with some sincerity, and I won't just pass them, and I tend to, I'm sure I contribute more than the average person, but even I will probably pay more attention now that I've been in that position from the other side. I do know how it feels not to be acknowledged. So it's interesting. I think that our society has become accustomed to music being in the background, which is odd if you think about it. You know, if you think about the fact that, you know, when you eat at a restaurant, that they often have classical music in the background. With,
sure,
you know, like one of the great achievements of all of mankind, like a Beethoven symphony, is kind of is
relegated,
simmering at a very low level in the background.
Yeah.
That nobody, you know, this great outpouring of emotion and has been relegated to just sort of background noise. It is an odd, very odd thing.
Or maybe I think going to work, people are so single-minded, making the metro or whatever it is, that they'll be on time.
That's true, too. I mean, there are different things you can get. Just the fact that, I mean, I think a lot of people have iPods in their ears, too.
Yes, that's true. Well, that's the next step for you, isn't it? Because you're just achieving one thing after another. Congratulations on your winning the Avery Fisher Award.
Thank you.
That is marvelous, Joshua.
Oh, thank you. It's a prize that I've seen awarded over the years. It's only awarded every few years, to a classical musician, and I was very honored to be, you know, chosen by my peers and colleagues, it was just a great experience last night, actually receiving the award, my family was around and came in from around the country, and to be there for that. And so
how exciting! Deserve it, I think. I think you've really worked very hard. You're also doing something else that really intrigued me when I heard that you are going to be conducting the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Is that right? Are you going to be playing and conducting?
Yeah, I don't really call myself a conductor, but I'm doing a lot these days of play, what you might call play directing or play conducting. The last 3 years I've been artistic partner at St. Paul Chamber Orchestra doing that, and now I'm doing several tours with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, on our way to Europe, doing Beethoven Concerto and Beethoven Seventh Symphony. You know, that's an area that I've never been able to do before. So now that I'm directing, I still won't call myself a conductor yet, but it's great to do that sort of repertoire.
Well, I had spoken actually with Pinchas Zuckerman about something like this, and he said that you just cannot be a soloist and a conductor of a large ensemble, if perhaps in the Baroque sense, a smaller ensemble. But he said after some point, the number of people, it's just not possible to really do that, I guess, probably as well as one could.
Well, certainly when you get into larger numbers, it becomes more difficult. With the small orchestra, orchestras have gotten bigger and bigger over the years, and a lot of the music that we play with big orchestras was not even intended at one time to be played with such a huge orchestra. Even with conductor, once you get into hundreds of people on stage, it can start losing its
it's
focus, and people in the back stop feeling as involved as they could be. So, conductor or not, having a small chamber orchestra is a great experience. And when you have people that are all well tuned in and feeling involved, they don't necessarily need someone, waving a stick, and they can gain just as many clues from me holding a violin and my expression, the way I move. It totally works. In fact, it feels more natural to me than having a go-between sometimes. Of course, if it's someone really great, I love working with conductors if it's the right chemistry. But it's wonderful just to have just to work directly with musicians.
That's great to hear you say that, because I think from certainly the Baroque period, there were concertos that were written where you would have the leader, as it were, and the soloist conducting either from the harpsichord or the piano or even with a violin.
Absolutely.
Now, for instance, the Four Seasons, how does that work if you're playing the Four Seasons?
Well, the Four Seasons, I just completed a U.S. tour with the Academy of St. Martin with the Four Seasons, and naturally, without conductor, I was leading them, and that's the way it should be done. It's actually seemed quite strange to have a conductor with the Four Seasons. It's everything is led from the violin and comes from the violin, so that's a great piece, and we're as everyone knows, but we're about to record that as well. I'm excited about making my first recording of the Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
So you'll be doing that with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, or?
That's right.
Oh, that's wonderful. When is that coming out?
Oh, I don't know when it'll come out, but we're recording it in May, and we'll see. I'm not sure when it will come out yet.
Spoken, of course, like a true musician. I really love when you say that there's such a connection there. It's really amazing. It's so very, very true. You know who did that? And I don't want to put you in that category. Didn't Johann Strauss do that?
Do what? Sorry.
What, didn't he play the violin and kind of lead the orchestra at the same time?
I don't know that. If he did, I didn't even realize that.
That's kind of the Viennese.
Yeah, certainly in that sort of tradition. And conducting was never really a profession until the last 100 years.
Yes.
I mean, it was something that any musician would just get up and lead, and it evolved into kind of the idea of a professional conductor. But most conductors, even today, the great ones, were also
musicians,
instrumentalists.
Yeah.
And it's a very natural progression.
Now, also, well, you kind of achieved another level. There's a new collection out. It's Essential Joshua Bell. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sony. That's one of Sony's their line, which is sort of a compilation of or a retrospective on one's career. They've done this with several people, mostly in pop and other areas. Not too many classical musicians. I was very glad. Pleased that they chose to do
but
this.
How old are you now?
I'm still in my 30s.
I was going to say, I mean, you're way ahead. I mean, that's really quite an honor. I know they've got the Essential Plácido Domingo and the Essential Yo-Yo Ma,
exactly.
But this is really quite a, I would say that certainly says something about you and your career and what you've accomplished.
Well, thanks. I mean, I feel lucky to have started my career quite young, and I've made maybe 30 recordings, and I guess enough to fill up an essential disc. So at this point, but it's nice to have that sort of collection just for myself. I like to be able to give to my friends, so it kind of sums up my career in music with the various partners that I've worked with. And
do you ever kind of stop and say, "Did I do all that?"
A little bit, yeah. I had to sort of approve some of these. Their selections, and I had to listen through to all these old things, which I never look back. So once I
make
a recording, I almost never listen to it. But so I had to do that. So it was interesting for me to.
Now I remember talking to you. Oh well, we've spoken several times through the beginning of your career. Actually, you had achieved a success at such a young age, but the Carigliano Violin Concerto. I know we discussed that. And you said you would be recording it. Is that something that has been recorded or will be recorded?
Yes, I actually have. Well, after the Red Violin, the film, wrote this wonderful violin concerto, which I think we're calling, or he's calling, the Red Violin Concerto.
But oh, he is.
It's inspired by that, but it's not to be confused with the soundtrack.
Isn't the first movement the Chaconne?
The first movement is the Chaconne, which I commissioned him to write at the time of the film. And then he added three movements, and it's a great, great work. And I have recorded that with Marin Alsop and the Baltimore Symphony, and just about to record the sonata for violin and piano with Jeremy Denk. We're going to do Corleone sonata to fill up the record, so that should come out in the fall sometime.
Wow. Well, all I can keep saying is wow. I mean, I think you're how do you keep up with it all? Where do you? Is there time to rest?
There's not a lot of time to rest, but I mean, I enjoy this job, so
we'll put you on the street corner and you can rest there.
That's right. That's right.
Joshua, thank you so very, very much. Once again, the very, very best, and congratulations on this wonderful award and all the work that you do.
Well, it's nice talking with you again.
Same here. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.